Today's guest is Natanya Stambouli. I invited Natanya on because she has quite the story, quite the business story transformation. She and I are in a group. We have the same coach, James Wedmore, and she has gone from, she was making $3,000 a month as a yoga instructor. She owned a yoga studio, and basically she said she was waking up like worried that she couldn't pay rent, that she couldn't pay her employees. And then COVID hit and she got shut down. And so she went to Zoom and started doing online. But of course, you know, yoga teachers, they want, it's not the same when you're not connecting with your students. So, but that's what she did. And she was able to continue to pay her yoga instructors, which I thought was really great. A lot of places didn't do that. They just shut down. So she was able to get into the program BBD that I am in and has helped me learn all about online business. And she really didn't start selling anything until September. And since September, she has made over 350,000. I think she's at like close to 400,000 now. And she said by the end of the year, she's going to be probably at 600 at the 1 year mark. So it's a pretty incredible story about somebody who was strapped and was facing like probably food stamps if she didn't have a solution because of COVID, but she was looking at not being able to pay rent and shutting down her whole business. And I don't even know what would have happened because I don't know if people who had businesses, a lot of them, I think still have lease obligations. So going into really bad debt, and that was all averted because she just decided to figure it out. She figured it out. She's like, okay, I'm going to do something online. And she created Yogi Flight School, and she teaches people how to stand on their hands. And I might be doing that soon because she inspired me so much. And she told me that I could do it. I mean, I did it a long time ago, but I was a lot, you know, not bulkier, but muscly. I had more muscle. I had strength in my shoulders, and then I got frozen shoulder. And now I'm like always scared about putting any weight on my shoulders because I don't want to have frozen shoulder again, because that's not fun. So with the way she was talking about it is it's very easy to learn how to do. And so now I'm really excited. So not only did she share this inspirational story, and she is just a light. And you think about when she tells her backstory about how she didn't have the light for a long time, but she kept following the seeds that kept dropping. And she finally found what she's meant to do in the world. And it's just a really, really amazing story. And I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And now I might be standing on my hands soon. So stay tuned. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And with me today, I have Natanya Stambouli. And I am excited to have her here because she has a really interesting job. She's a yoga teacher, and she has a business called Yogi Flight School. So welcome to the program, Natanya.
Thank you so much for having me, Lori. I'm super excited to be here.
Good. So Natanya, I love her vibe. So we met in James Wedmore's program. So she has like in a year changed significantly her life, and it's amazing. I can't wait to hear her story. But she was also selected as one of the six finalists. They do five, and there was a tie apparently. So now there's six, and that you got to pick from these six. And so I was looking for somebody to be, you know, I like to inspire people in my podcast. And it's funny, Natanya is midlife, but she's a little bit younger. And what I was thinking, Natanya, is my kids are your age. Uh-huh. Like, my kids are now midlifers. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. In fact, my son-in-law is like 42, I think. So anyway, so I wanted you to share your story because I think that, you know, anybody can change their life in a kind of almost instantly, you know, just like, you know, change your thoughts, change your life. But you took you had an offline, and I don't know the details of your story. I just know your like 3-minute snippet on that video. And then the vibe that, cause she and I are affiliates for JAME right now in the BBD launch. And she is like so enthusiastic and always posting like so happy things. And yeah, so, but she was in a period when like the pandemic hit us and she had a business, like a brick and mortar business. And that the pandemic hit people hard. And so you didn't make much money anyways. And then it was like cut off because you had a yoga studio. So I would love to kind of go back to that place where you were coming from and you invested in BBD when most people say, I don't have the money, but you did. And then your life is like so different now. So I would love for you to just like take us back to where you were mentally then.
Yeah. Thank you for that, that lead up. And I owned a yoga studio in Los Angeles for 5 years. And interestingly, I found that every major shift in my life and every moment of transformation, you said we just get to choose to have it. But actually for me, it's like, I have to be backed up against the wall and feel like I can't breathe anymore before I'm willing to make the change. And it has happened several times in my life now where I've completely changed directions. But it's after years of buildup of just dis-ease within myself where I'm just ready to like jump out of my own skin. And I was getting to that point before COVID hit. I'd owned a yoga studio for 5 years. And the day that I had signed the paperwork to take over that studio, my intuition was saying, don't do it. This is not your dream. This is not what you want. Don't do it. And I said, no, this is an amazing opportunity. I'm going to do it. Fast forward 5 years, I was crawling out of my skin going, I need to get out, but I felt responsible for all of those people who had this community. The community had existed for 15 years before I came along. So it was a neighborhood yoga studio for 20 years. And how dare I be the person to walk away or to shut it down or to disappoint this community that has come to depend on this amazing sacred space.
Were you a client? Is that how you got involved?
I was a client. And then the previous owner asked me to take it over. She saw something in me. She trained me to teach yoga and then was like, I think you should take it over. And it was just crazy the way that actually happened. Financing fell out of the sky to make it possible. So I felt like I had to. And then immediately I knew it wasn't my thing. But so I had all of these stories of why I couldn't walk away and why I couldn't sell it or why I couldn't shut it down. And then COVID happened. And immediately March 15th, I mean, for a week before, my front desk manager was like, Natanya, you really need to think about going online. Like, this pandemic is real. And I was in complete denial. I'm like, we're in Los Angeles. They're never going to shut down Los Angeles. Are you kidding me? Never going to happen. And, you know, as soon as I said that, literally like 24 hours later, we got shut down. And I couldn't even wrap my head around it. So immediately we turned into an online yoga studio. We just continued to deliver the classes that we were doing in person. You know, we just stuck a camera in the room and the teachers would come and teach to an empty space with the camera in front of them. And we started live streaming on Zoom.
Yeah. So a lot of yoga studios, I would think, just like shut down and the teachers really didn't even have a choice. So the fact that you were open to going online and doing something different says a lot as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was open. I have some tech skills and so I was not scared by that part of it, but for me, it was like, this is my livelihood as it is. I don't make any money. I mean, much enough to pay my rent and my car payments and stuff like that. But there was nothing extra. But I was like, if I don't have this, how am I going to survive? Plus all the people that I employ, I couldn't possibly just be like, sorry, guys, you're done for the foreseeable future. And at first we thought it was only 2 weeks. They shut us down for 2 weeks initially. So it was like an interim thing. Plus the community, I couldn't let everybody just have no yoga, especially in a time where we really needed it. So yes, I was open to the pivot, but very quickly I saw we weren't actually gonna come back in person anytime soon. And that's when I started to come up with new, like, I was just so burned out about teaching yoga classes to a camera and like having no idea if people are on the other side actually following me or enjoying it or anything like that. And for me, like the pleasure of teaching is seeing my students embody what I'm teaching and everyone breathing together and moving together. And that's the joy for me. So it was just completely not the same. And I started to, people started to cancel their memberships in droves because people were losing their jobs and they were freaking out about money. And so the studio sales were just starting to crash. And at that point I was like, okay, I have to do something. So I was like, well, what actually lights me up? I was teaching people how to stand on their hands because people believe that they can't because it's hard. Because what do you mean stand on my hands? I can't do that. I wasn't a gymnast. I'm not,
you
know.
I've done it.
Great.
I learned to do the crow. It's called the crow, right?
Or yeah. Like,
but yeah, I did a Tony Horton program when I was just turned 55 and I got in the best shape of my life and I'd never done yoga before. And I was my arms were amazing. I was like, I need to show a picture of that to you, like as proof. But yeah,
I would love to see it. I'm sure
it's such a feat. I mean, I mean, I was so proud of myself when I did that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And that's really what it's all about. And I was like, well, I really love empowering people with that particular, with crow pose. And, you know, there's a bunch of other ones that are upside down on your head, on your elbows, like all kinds of crazy stuff, but things that most people think they can't do, but actually they can, if it's instructed in such a way that makes it clear and possible. So I created just an 8-week program for my yoga studio students. And I was like, well, why don't I, like, let's do this while we're all stuck at home, come hang out with me on Zoom and let's stand on our hands. And it was really well received. I had, I think, 10 or 14 people join that initial program, which for my small neighborhood studio was actually a pretty good turnout for an online workshop. And when I completed that, I was like, I think I might be onto something here. Like if I could teach, because they had great results. At first I was like, I don't know that I can teach this stuff online. Like I need to be there to hold people's legs and like make sure they don't fall. And so I tested it and nobody needed me to hold them. It's amazing what we do, what we're capable of when the person to help you is not standing next to you. It's like, we almost
You might feel more empowered because you are doing it on your own.
By yourself. It's amazing. Yeah. And so I found that my students had results and they loved it. And I was like, well, what if I actually take this and open it up to the world? And then I got hit with a wall of, well, I don't know how to do that. Like I could slap it on a website, but like, how is the world going to find out about it? I don't have an email list. I don't have, you know, other than my yoga studio people who had just signed up for it. So there wasn't another pool of people to pull from. And that's when I discovered BBD, interestingly.
And how'd you come across BBD, by the way? How did you,
you know, it's amazing how the universe works. And this is something that like is a through line for all of the moments of transformation in my life, is that everything that occurs is planting seeds for the next thing. And even things that you think are not related are completely related. So last year when COVID hit, I had just completed a transformational leadership training for my own personal growth. And the woman who ran the company of the transformational leadership training invited me to a live event. She had some other business program that she was selling. And I went because I just enjoyed the vibes in the community. So I went to that live event. And at that live event, she brought a case study onto the big screen, onto the Jumbotron. And this woman named Christina Jandali, who's also a BBD affiliate, was teaching people how to create a business running a Facebook group. And I discovered that woman then, and I signed up for her Facebook coaching program. And when BBD opened its doors last year, she was an affiliate and she sent an email saying, hey, you have to check out my friend, James Wedmore, which got me into James's launch. So had I not done that transformational leadership program for my own personal growth, had I not gone to that live event, had I not flashed about something that Christina said about her Facebook group thing, had I not signed up for her program and gotten on her email list, I never would have met James. So completely unrrelated things brought me to
led
this.
You that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I bought the program and I sat on it in fear for months. I think the doors opened last year in June and I didn't launch my course until September because I was in complete fear around what are people going to say? Because anybody who knows anything about yoga knows that yoga is not about standing on your hands. It's about coming home to yourself and It's about expanding your soul and learning how to breathe and learning how to meditate and learning how to be still and quiet and to reduce the noise in your life. And here I am going, do you want to be a ninja? Let's stand on our hands. And it's not, yeah, I was very afraid of the backlash from the yoga community. And so I did nothing.
And now you're the envy of a lot of them probably because what you're doing probably, is
but it's
amazing.
Probably, maybe, thank you. But I do get emails often sure. from people going, you're not yoga. I'm unsubscribing from your email list. And I'm like, you know what? You're not my people mm-hmm. because the students that I do help, like they see that it's not about standing on your hands. It's about changing the stories that you tell yourself about what's possible for your life. It's yes. about the box that you put yourself in and you say, I am this kind of person and I do or do not do these things. And what's possible when you stay open and take yourself on and challenge all the limiting beliefs that you have been lugging around with you since your childhood. And you see your behavior patterns about quitting when things become too hard and walking away from things that are good for you and believing what someone told you about your butt being too big or your arms being too weak. And it's taking all of that stuff on and breaking through it. And I think that what we achieve on the yoga mat then translates to the rest of our life. So if you go, I'm too weak, I'm nobody, I can't do this. And all of a sudden you do it. That gives you confidence to now take that story on in some other aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. And when my students started to see that, and when I got better at communicating that, I wasn't afraid of the backlash anymore because I can now speak into what I'm actually doing here. Yes, it's not yoga and it's empowering in a way that meditating is not for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I find getting the affirmation from the people that are your people gives you this like confidence and this passion that I like, it comes from a deeper place at that point. And I think too, when you, and I've learned this from James and from Brandon, Lucero, but you know, it's all the messaging is you have to, if you want to stand out, you have to stand for something. And you, if you try to whitewash it, then you're really not going to stand for anything. And people like people who stand for something.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I love that. You have to be unafraid to ruffle feathers and to mm-hmm. really be like that. This is how I see it. And, you know, they say when you start to have haters is when you've made it. And, yeah. and I'm starting to see that people pushing back against what I'm doing. And sometimes I'm like, oh no, I'm doing it wrong. I should stop. I should be quiet. I should change my messaging. And then I'm like, no, this is exactly what's meant to happen is you attract your tribe and everyone else gets to go find their tribe.
And they usually create a great conversation too in your posts, you know, because then your people that are your people come defend you. And it's funny because I've learned, I did network marketing business before I did my own thing. And so I was on the online space a little bit. And I remember always like feeling like I'd get this like sick feeling if somebody said something negative. And now it's like, I have this empathy for them. You know, I have this empathy. It's nothing that I feel, you know, before it was like, I felt bad for myself, you know, mm-hmm. now I just like feel bad for them. Cause I know they're coming from a place where they just are in their own limiting beliefs. Like you said.
I had a guy yesterday who came on and underneath one of my Facebook ads, he trashed my course, having never been in my course, and then posted a video of one of his students achieving something and said, I bet my student is better than everybody who comes out of your course, and then put his website underneath it. And I found that so interesting. It's like, where else in your life do you have to discredit someone else in order to promote yourself?
And do you think that's going to attract people? That's the funny thing.
And it might. And
I don't think so.
I was just like, wow, like that guy probably walks around the world feeling like he needs to crap on others in order to lift himself up. And it's just a shame because there's more than enough space for a million of approaches to the same thing.
So you said that you're living in, so you've been traveling around. So you have this freedom that you haven't had. So you're not in LA anymore. And you went to Puerto Rico, did you say? And then Mexico. Yeah,
exactly. So I ended up selling my yoga studio in December to my front desk manager, the one who told me that I should probably think about going online before COVID happened. And she took it over. So the community is well taken care of and loved on. And in February, my partner and I kind of picked up and left. Spent 2 months in Puerto Rico. Now we're in Mexico for 4 months until September. Mm-hmm. and we'll probably head back to LA. We've got to move our stuff from one storage unit to another. And then we'll see after that. We run, aside from my course, I run yoga and fitness retreats with my partner. And so we travel around the world doing retreats. So we've got one coming up in Greece in November. Oh my gosh. Might spend a little bit of time over there.
Greece is on my bucket list. Mm. Oh my gosh. That is so interesting. Soul Tribe Adventures. Love the name. Plus I love, I'm all about adventures. I like it when you talk about adventures. I'm doing this abundance series on my podcast. So every week I do an episode about abundance, and I call it Abund Adventures.
I love it.
So we're in Greece.
We're going to be on Amorgos, which is a tiny island in the Greek islands. And I have no idea about it. We tend to choose locations based on how beautiful they look and based on the adventures that there are to do around. So there's some great snorkeling and some great boating and some great hiking. And so we're just going to check it out and maybe spend some time in Athens as well, just to see the historical sites.
That's awesome. Do you have to do a lot of research for that? I would imagine.
So a lot of the planning process is researching the areas and how easy they are to travel to, because we have folks who join us from all over the world. So we want to make sure that they're fairly accessible. And then a big portion of our retreats is adventure tours or something that takes you out of your comfort zone and really makes you face a fear or two or eight. And so we like to make sure that the places we're going to have something to offer along those lines. And then a lot of times we just can't decide. There's so many great places and we have to prioritize one over the other. So
that's so exciting. So how long does a retreat last?
And they're usually 7 days. We find that it takes about 3 days for people to disconnect and put down their phones and stop thinking about work. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days to enjoy. And then 2 days to start freaking out about going home. Really the thing. So,
like male and female?
Yep. Everybody together. And we focus on, inspiring kind of mindset talks. And we do a lot of games. We try to, it's more like a summer camp for adults than it is a meditative retreat. So lots of fun, lots of adventure. Of course, we've got some yoga and some introspection. My partner teaches workouts. So you come home in better shape than when you left. And it's fun and a really nice way to go back to just being carefree. We need more of that in our lives.
Yes. Now, are you from LA?
No, I was born in France. I grew up in Israel.
I
moved to LA 15, 16 years ago in my early 20s.
Quite a international.
I am. I call myself a suitcase baby.
No wonder you're a wanderlust. That's awesome. Yeah. So tell me about, because you had a big change before you got into yoga. What drove you to do yoga? I always like these pivotal points in life that made, because I had a corporate six-figure corporate executive kind of career, which left me kind of anxiety ridden and unhappy. And so at a midlife, not only I left my marriage of 25 years, but I was trying to figure out where I fit in the world. And so I can totally relate to you leaving the corporate world.
Yeah. I feel like there are multiple points in our lives where we're up against these pivotal decisions, and good for you, first of all, for taking that leap in all the ways. Yeah. So my first transformation, so to speak, in that sense, was about 6 years ago. I was working as a marketing director for a wholesale company. I worked in a warehouse in an office with no windows for 10 years. And absolutely hated it, but it was a family business. I worked for my cousins and I was not a US citizen at the time. So I had visa restrictions with where I could work. And so I was kind of stuck either that or leave the US. And it was just, it was a bit of a toxic working environment. And I would go home every day, either in tears or screaming, one or the other. It's very healthy. And I discovered yoga in 2009. I was actually dating someone who was like, "You really need yoga. You're a bit of a crazy person." And I was like, "Do not tell me what I need. No, you don't get to tell me what I need." He was so right. But I don't do well with people telling me what I need. So I was dragged.
When you're misaligned, who wants to hear?
Exactly. So I was dragged to my first yoga class and I hated it on principle because I was like, "What is this nonsense? It's slow, it's boring." And So I didn't go back. And then one day I was late for cardio kickbox. Like after work, I would go and like punch my anger at my job out on these punching bags. And I was late to that class one day. And the only thing left on the schedule at the gym was an advanced yoga class. And I was like, hair flip. This is going to be easy. I'm going to go and be bored for an hour. And it was an advanced yoga class. I got my butt kicked and I was in a plank position, which is, you know, a position that you find in all kinds of workout modalities. So I was like, oh, I know this. And I was just, he kept us there for like 5 solid minutes. I was sweating and like just dying in this position. And for the first time at the very end of that class, I laid down in the final resting pose called Shavasana. And I was at peace. I had no worries about work. I had no, like just nothing. I was just empty and calm. And I was like, what just happened? Nothing else in my life gave me that. And so I started going and going and going, and I like didn't want to tell that ex-boyfriend that he'd actually put me onto something that could change my life. And then in 2015, so 6 years after I started practicing, I showed up at the gym one day to do my yoga class and the teacher didn't show up. Complete no show. And this has never happened before. And the front desk came and said, okay, you guys, the class is canceled because the teacher no showed. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I need my yoga or I'm going to punch somebody. So I said to the class, I was like, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm going to pull my mat to the front of the class and I'm just going to do my practice. And I'm going to say out loud what I'm doing. And whoever wants to follow along can follow along. Half of the class left, the other half stayed. And I taught my first impromptu yoga class just like that. And that was the universe dropping that seed because I was on cloud 9 after. I posted on Facebook. I was like, world, I'm so happy. I just taught my first yoga class. I feel like I need to do a teacher training. And one of my very favorite teachers saw that post and she goes, oh, I have a yoga teacher training starting 2 weeks from now. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? So I signed up. And within 2 weeks of starting that teacher training, they take you deep into your truth. And the ways in which we lie to ourselves and the ways in which we compromise our soul in order to fit a mold that is not ours to fit. And I saw myself that loud and clear, and I could no longer keep lying. At this point, I was dating somebody else. It was a toxic, borderline, verbally and emotionally abusive relationship. I was in this abusive environment at work. And I said, I quit everything. We had just moved in, the boyfriend and I took my stuff and I left. And I put in my notice at this job that I'd had for 10 years working for my family, which was riddled with all this other anxiety about quitting the family business. Sure. How dare you?
Yeah.
And I just said, I'm going to teach yoga full time. And as soon as I said that out loud, I got my first yoga teaching job before I even graduated my training. The woman who was training me hired me to teach at her studio, which then became the studio that I was to own. And it was just the first time that I really understood what it means to be in alignment, to be in flow, and to trust that the things that show up in your path are there for a reason, and to take the steps. Because I could have taught that impromptu yoga class and just been like, okay, that was fun. And I could have seen my teacher say, I have a training start in 2 weeks. And I could have been like, that's too soon. I'm not ready. And I didn't. I said yes to everything, even the things that weren't asking me yes or no. I was still saying yes. And so.
Yeah, it seemed like you were, you know, in a way, just suppressing your feelings and you're being hard, you know, you were being like, you know, I think, you know, that one class you described, you like finally felt something, you know, and then you started to feel more.
Yeah. There was a ton. I lost my mom when I was 12 years old, very suddenly. So I suppressed a lot of things at that moment of my life. And they started to open up as I learned to feel and soften and allow things in that I had blocked out for many, many years, just as a self-protection mechanism. And so yoga saved my life in so many ways and gave me a new trajectory. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, as much as starting this business this year or last year has been transformational, what was really transformational is being willing to walk away from that relationship, from that career, and say, I'm going to run around the city of Los Angeles for $30 a class and teach 25 classes a week and make way less money than I made in my previous job. I downgraded my apartment. I got a cheaper car. I canceled my cable connection. I canceled everything in my life, but I'm so happy. Yes. I was so happy. It didn't matter that I made less money. I didn't need to go shopping anymore because I realized shopping was just a way to fill the void of like,
yeah. And how did your life, how did the external world around you change?
Everything changed. I was happy. And I was just like walking around like a lighter, brighter,
more people that, yeah. You probably got a better boyfriend.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. And it just, everything just became easy.
Yeah.
Everything that was hard and challenging and miserable and sad, it became light and easy. And I got so many opportunities. Like immediately someone found me on Facebook and was like, I need a yoga teacher to come teach on my retreat to Bali. I'll pay for everything. You just need to show up. I'm sorry. What?
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I will do that. And that's like awesome. That never would have happened. And that started me on, if she can do retreats, well, I can do retreats. And that's how I started doing retreats. So it was just, it just became easy. So like, this is my like nugget for anybody who's listening is follow the passion, follow the thing that makes you light up. Even if it feels silly or it feels like, well, I can't make a living doing that. Yes, you can. You can actually make a living doing anything. I make a living teaching people how to stand on their hands. Come on now. That's not a thing that you would think.
Yeah. And you make a nice living now. You went from, this is what's so shocking. You went from basically $3,000 a month, which is nothing in LA.
Yeah. No, I mean, not in LA.
Yeah. Not in LA. And now this past year, you're like over 350K, right?
Since you started? Yeah. Yeah. Since I started. Yeah. I think I'm going to close the year at almost 600K.
That's crazy
for my first year, which is just bananas. I mean, granted, all
you didn't even launch till September. So it's not even,
it's not even a year. Yeah. And granted, I don't keep all that money, right? I hired people and there's like a whole payroll thing, but I don't have to worry about my rent. And I was always worried about my rent.
Yeah.
That in and of itself is a huge gift, but it's not even that. Like I would still be doing what I'm doing if I was making one fifth of the money. It's this, there's nothing that replaces feeling fulfilled in your life. And I never could have imagined 6 years ago, if you told me you're going to find fulfillment by doing retreats and teaching handstands, I would have been like, what are you smoking? There's no way. First of all, I don't know how to do a handstand. So I had to learn that before I could teach it. Right. But it's just so wild. And if you follow the passion and you follow the calling, like there's a voice inside each of us that's talking all the time. And I became a professional at silencing it and at being like, no, shush, shush. I know, I know what I'm doing. So a head versus heart. Yeah. And that little voice that's like, you need out of here. You need out of here. You need out of here. Like we have to listen to it because eventually it starts to scream. Mm-hmm. And when it starts to scream, it just hurts everywhere. Like everything feels icky. And then we have no choice but to go and jump and do the thing. So listen before it starts to scream. Like that intuition is always out for our greater good. And if you're like listening to this and you have a thing inside you that's going, get out, or start something new, like whatever the voice is saying, like, trust it. That's your joy. That's your passion. That's your purpose. That's your fulfillment. It's trying to talk to you. And I spent so many years telling it to be quiet.
Yeah. And I was curious if you got sick because a lot of people that are my age, they start having health problems because of it. You know, it starts to show up physical. Yeah.
I had horrible cystic acne. I went through, treatment after treatment, antibiotics. And then they put me on this thing called Accutane, which is a really rough, really, really rough medication. And, and then I was losing my hair in chunks and, just all kinds of physical, digestive issues and irritable bowel syndrome. What? Just from your psyche, like screaming at you to change something. So yeah, went through that as well. I think that's ageless, right? If we are backed up against the wall hard enough.
Yeah. I'm glad you confirmed what I was thinking. Cause all those things and people don't think that it's related to them not doing what their soul wants.
So, yeah. And it takes courage to say, I'm going to change what's not working because we are creatures of comfort as humans and we want to be safe. And it becomes a conversation of when is safe actually killing you slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think women in general are pleasers. And so they're like, doing what we want is usually further down the list.
all the way down the list.
Yeah. So, and like working in a family business, I often think and feel bad for people who, I mean, there are family businesses that, you know, the person who inherits it loves it, but a lot of times it's not what they're meant to do, and, mm-hmm. and they're stuck. And yeah. I just can't imagine you, how trapped you felt in that. And I'm so glad you're, and the other thing too, is that, you know, to speak to the money thing is like the money that you're making now, like you could only impact so many people in that little studio, and think of the impact that you're making now, mm-hmm. and think of the impact you're making by just the people seeing your story that mm-hmm. James has been sharing. You know, it's giving everybody hope that that possibility exists for them. And then not to mention your students that are loving standing on their hands.
Yeah. And that's really, you know, when people ask me like, what's the best advice? Like people, we're all scared, I think, of going out on a limb and starting a business or daring to change something or leave the marriage or leave the whatever. And my thing is always like, there are people out there suffering who need you and what you are on this planet to share, and being stuck in I'm not good enough and I don't deserve this and who am I to do whatever, that's actually selfish. That's taking mm-hmm. away your gifts mm-hmm. from the rest of the world. Yes. And I never thought that teaching someone how to stand on their hands could possibly change their lives. But every single day I get emails from my students saying, working with you has changed my life. And I'm like, seriously? Mm-hmm. Like, seriously? Mm-hmm. But yes, why would they tell me if it weren't true? You know, they're right. not here to just blow smoke just cause. And so like, and I spent so long in, I don't know what I want to do for a living. And I don't know. And it's hard. And I don't know. And all of that time was time that I could have been making an impact on the world. So when in doubt, focus out. Think of the people yeah. who are out there waiting for you while you're sitting here second guessing yourself, and yeah. trust that we're all on this planet to help each other and to share something about mm-hmm. our story.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you made me think of is the thing that James taught me and really resonated and stuck with me forever. And I teach my students this, is that we all have the answers inside. And when you say, I don't know, and you keep like repeating that to yourself, you're just blocking that which will come up if you just like shut up and listen, go to a yoga class and like connect. Mm-hmm. And so we just are so like, we just block everything by just thinking it's, you know, we don't know, or it's not possible. And something knows, it's just that our conscious brain at the moment is not open to it. Or yeah. So that's really cool. So I love what you're doing. So your students, are they like, they don't know how to stand on their hands when they come in there and you teach them?
No, they come in. Some of them don't even practice yoga at all. They just like the idea of doing something crazy like that.
Ninja, like who don't want to be ninja?
Right? Like, everybody wants to be a ninja. Come, or they, I would think so.
They
come either as beginners to yoga, or they've tried that one pose, crow pose, which is the gateway arm balance, if you will, that people typically learn first, and they just can't do it because teachers give you 3 minutes in yoga class. They're like, okay, put your hands here, put your knees here and do it. And then we move on to the next thing and people are left going, well, there's got to be something wrong with me because I didn't get it in those 3 minutes. And look, these two other people next to me are doing it. And so they come to me at that point. They're like, what's wrong with my arms? They're too short. And I'm like, no, honey, they're not too short. Just no one ever took the time to explain it to you step by step and to prepare your body adequately. So,
right. Because you need a lot of strength. You need a lot of upper arm strength.
Well, that's what you would think. Right. And that's what, when you say Brandon Lucero taught you to like take a stand, that's my mm-hmm. stand. You do not need a lot of upper body strength. That's what you think. It's all about stacking your bones. You got to get your bones aligned. And once your bones are aligned, it's actually really light to hold. Most people are not stacking their bones.
Ooh.
So I teach it with a completely different method. And that's why my method is so successful, because it's based on physics and not on strength.
I've seen some stuff you do though. Like you like go sideways and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And so do my students. I mean, granted some strength is required and you'll build the strength as you practice.
Yeah.
But most people are like, I'm not strong enough. I'm like, I will prove to you. Give me 10 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Now I want to join your yogi flight school. So.
Yeah.
And I want to go on your Greece retreat.
Please come. Yeah, I'll hook you up.
That's so awesome. So, okay. So you've given so many nuggets along the way. I mean, I guess my biggest question, I guess, what I'd love for you to share is, like, what have you learned about yourself? I mean, you've grown a lot since you started practicing yoga, but what have you learned in the last, like, few months from like going from where you were and having the guts to do what you've done and now standing out in a place that is, you know, pretty amazing.
Yeah, for
who you're helping.
Yeah, I've learned that I'm more powerful than I have ever given myself credit for. And I always saw myself as just a girl who doesn't really know what she's doing, who's not nearly as good as some of those other teachers out there. And that was the box that I put myself in. And it turns out that when I am leading with my passion and my soul and my heart, I have the power to move mountains and to create insane results in a very short time. And that I surprised myself over and over, and I continue to. And so if there's really one thing that I've learned is that I am more capable and more powerful than I thought. And I think that's true of every single one of us. I think that we all, that's, you know, why are we on this planet? I think it's to understand that.
Yeah.
That we are capable.
Yeah. It's interesting. What made me just think of something is that you were talking about when you started, when you signed up to take over the studio, you had this thing where I'm not meant to do this. Mm-hmm. And what I'd love for you to touch on is it wasn't the yoga. It was just that container of yep. the yoga. Right. And I remember my parents were teachers and I studied to be a middle school teacher. And I had an experience of teaching 9 weeks of seventh grade English and it was horrible. I hated it. I hated it. In fact, I dropped out of college because I was like, I do not want to do this. And yet here I am a teacher and I love teaching. And I did teach in my corporate job. I did some training and stuff. And so it was the container I was in. And so a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I liked that, but I didn't like it, but it's still what they're meant to do, but it's just a different structure of sorts. Is that the right way to explain it?
Yeah, absolutely. At the time I didn't even know. Yes, I knew teaching for me was a thing. Like I light up, I'm a performer at heart. I was always on stage as a kid. I sang in choirs. I was a musical theater geek. And so like being in front of people and imparting something of value has always been part of me. Mm. But yes, being for me, it was what was off was being responsible for rent for a building and having all of this staff and coordinating schedules and cleaning the toilets and like the sweeping the floor and doing all the things that you have to do when you are at the helm of a brick and mortar business.
Yes.
And that is what was out of alignment. I didn't want to be stuck to mm-hmm. an address on a street, you know, with all of this overhead, like literally I felt like it was hanging over my head. And that's why I don't know if that's why they call it overhead, but it makes a lot of sense. I woke up in a panic every morning for the first 6 months going, is there enough money in the bank account to pay the rent? Like just every morning. Yeah. And it was just not.
Well, you're clearly a free spirit traveling the world and doing these things. And, you know, you were trapped in that with no windows working mm-hmm. for your family, you know, business. And then in a way you're trapped in the yoga studio.
Yeah.
So now you're free to spread your wings and be who you really are meant to be. So it's so exciting.
Thank
you so much for being here and taking the time. And I, like I said, I'm really excited about you being in this contest and I'm going to vote for you.
You are the best. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure to chat. And I wish I could interview you next because I want to hear more about you, but
yeah,
I'll start following you for sure.
Yeah. Maybe when the, you know, things open up and BBD Live comes and maybe I'll look into your yoga flight school. I mean, it's really intriguing to me.
I'm going
to
send you an email after this.
Okay.
I'm going to set you up with our yogi flight school. You get to be in there.
And then like the Greece thing, it's like, I've been wanting to go to Greece and I've been seeing somebody traveling to Greece in social media and I'm like, this is just a sign. It's beckoning to me. Maybe next year. Well, maybe this year.
Maybe this year. Why not?
I've always wanted to go on a retreat. Like I wanted to go just like, you know, just escape to kind of a mental place and shut down for a week. Cause I tend to be a little bit of a obsessed worker bee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks
we
so
need
much,
that.
Natanya. And I know this will inspire my listeners. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.